Hello, podcast listeners. It has been a long minute since we've reconnected and checked in with each other. There's been some advancements within Aspiration Athletics between Mallory and I, and very exciting. I'm really, really excited to share with you guys later on. But for now, I want to stick to today's episode. In episode 25, I'm talking with guest speaker Matthew McCarty in our first guest cast with IU Media Group, partnering at their studio. Listen in on how a National Olympic weightlifting competitor and coach trains, his story on his development, where he started, and how you can gain insight on your own training and development, whether you're a beginner or an advanced athlete or lifestyle population. All right. Hello and welcome, Aspiration Athletics listeners. Today is episode 25, and I am joined with a special guest on the podcast today. He is a NASM certified personal trainer, a university nationals champion, and a university world team member. I'm joined with Mr. Matthew McCarty. Welcome.
Hello, good sir. Thanks for having me, man.
No problem, man. So I'm really excited to have you on the show today. But before we dive in, I want to mention that we do have listener support running on the podcast, guys. So if you get any enjoyment or take anything away from this podcast, it's valuable to you, pay it what it's worth. Or if you just like listening, go ahead and do that too. But the proceeds help us keep the podcast running and able to do cool things such like this, being able to have outlets to be able to meet our guests and provide a nice experience for them. So check out our listener support there. I want to get an idea of how you even got into fitness and the related fields, and what your earliest memory is of getting involved at this capacity.
Oh, man, earliest memories. Honestly, I was maybe 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, That's young. This is going to sound funny, but I had a girlfriend when I was in middle school.
Oh, man.
And we were going to get ready to go into high school.
Yep.
And I was like, man, these dudes are going to be looking like Dwayne Johnson. I was like, I got to start working out.
Oh, so you were that typical mindset man. I got to do it for the babes.
I got to pretend like someone's going to take my woman.
Right, so, right. It got primal.
So yeah, so I got to get swole. So I had two 12-pound dumbbells, and I would do lateral flies in the mirror.
So you were a Deltasaurus Rex.
Oh, man, that was all I did.
Well, that explains the delts and traps now,
that
right?
That and curls. That was all I knew.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, and then so I did that. That was the beginning. And then I began a little more serious weightlifting, I'd say freshman year in high school and all the way through high school.
Yeah.
A lot of bench press, though, a lot of leg press, kind of no real functional
I think you point out a very good point that like you started where a lot of like people getting into high school or even just thinking about fitness in general. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can relate to that situation of like, I'm doing it for the girls, right? Like all of these like external motivators.
Right.
So this is a point where you were just like getting moving and kind of understanding your body at that point.
Yeah, and
you
I would definitely
you were 13. 12?
I was 12, yeah, when I first started lifting and stuff. But I always say today, like, I think having that bodybuilding background has really helped me moving forward. Just gives me, like, a kind of brute strength, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So a good solid base.
So did you
forward.
So you started with more of like a component or like isolated approach?
Isolated. I didn't learn how to squat until 18?
Like barbell squat.
Barbell squat.
Wow. Yeah. Really? So you really had like no functional movement patterns.
Nothing. Didn't know how to deadlift. Didn't know how to squat. It was leg press and bench press.
Wow.
And I benched 3 to 4 times a week.
Oh my gosh, dude.
at what point did you start to shift that mentality of like, okay, component-based training, like I want something more, and even started to think about Olympic lifting, or was there other modes of training before that?
Yeah, so actually, so I played lacrosse and football my junior and senior year.
Okay.
I injured my knees back-to-back years.
Oh, no.
But I was still eating.
What year? Freshman, sophomore?
My junior year. And then my senior year.
No.
The two big ones.
Dude,
the two big years.
I'm so sorry. That's all right. Terrible.
But it led me to find weightlifting in the long run.
So it was a blessing in disguise.
It was. Oh, for cool. sure. For cool. sure. Yeah. So, and then I was still eating like I was lifting and doing sports all the time. So I got up to, 285 pounds.
Wow.
I was a big boy.
But you were solid though.
I was, how do I put this? I was thick. I was.
You were slim.
I was thick.
we're just gonna leave it at thick.
Yeah, we'll just say thick. You know,
dense.
We'll just say it was. It wasn't abs. It was a strong keg.
All okay. Right?
Yeah.
Fair.
So,
but it was like a muscle keg.
It was a muscle
like your
keg.
Eddie
yeah.
Hall
yeah.
kind of like muscle keg.
I wish Eddie Hall, but
so not quite Eddie Hall, but
yeah.
you had a good frame.
I had
that
a good
was,
frame
that was mm-hmm. good for like sport right. and being mm-hmm. able to successfully mm-hmm. Play football. And,
yeah.
And so, to kind of walk me through what happened with those injuries. Like, you mentioned the knee injury. Was mm-hmm. that? Did that start in lacrosse? Did that start in football? Or
they were both in football.
Oh,
but,
dear.
But
sorry, football players.
No, so this is also why I love squatting and just the fitness industry too, is because I never did any like unilateral work. I never did any squats, and both of the times I tore my ACL were non-contact. So that's really
that was an eye opener for you,
yeah.
huh? And mm-hmm. and being able to like shift your mentality
yes.
of how you trained.
Absolutely.
So would you say that at this point, Matthew, that you started to recognize like, okay, there's more to this gig than just putting up some numbers and weight.
Oh yeah.
And just pressing mm-hmm. and kind of like building musculature.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you were maybe 13, 14 at the time where you started thinking like more in depth about the situation, you would say? Or
No, I mean, I didn't think about it until I probably graduated high school. Like,
oh,
thinking
wow.
about like really building my legs and actual accessory work that will help me have healthier joints.
Okay.
So,
and that you said that was after you left high school?
Mm-hmm. After I graduated. So I was 285 pounds after I graduated. And then I did my first CrossFit workout. And it destroyed me.
That was after you graduated. Was
after
this
I graduated.
In like the summer after like
yep.
that grace
mm-hmm.
period where you're like, what the hell do I do with myself?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a memorable summer for anyone
yeah,
out there
man.
That leaves high school. And especially like... You had athletic prowess,
mm-hmm.
Myself included. Leaving high school, it's like you're either lining up where you're gonna go and compete for that university. Like
right.
myself, like once I left high school, I'm like, you know, because I was wrestling in high school, I'm like, okay, now I got to figure out where I'm gonna try to get a scholarship
mm-hmm.
or that's gonna allow me to wrestle on their team. So lining up all those things in my training efforts had to coincide with that transfer into sport.
Yeah.
So that was when I had to start thinking about. A little deeper than just bench press,
right?
And
yeah,
curls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're saying you attended a CrossFit workout?
Yeah. So it was actually at a Anytime Fitness, I think it is now.
They have CrossFit at Anytime?
No, it was just some guy who was like, "Hey, try this workout." And,
you're kidding?
And I was just like, "Sure." And
I bet the Anytime franchisees love hearing that.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
it was so bad. It was one of those CrossFit open workouts.
Jesus.
And it was snatches. Never done a snatch before. And burpees.
Did this guy even, like, could he even do it efficiently?
No.
Or? No, he was just one of those, like, I got certified, I'm going to try to make a quick buck
yeah.
off of a
we're
class.
Lucky, we're lucky we're not on, like, gym fail right now. Or
oh,
something.
My gosh, dude. So that's one thing I want to point out for everyone, too, is that there's levels to this.
Oh,
we just
yeah.
talked about this before
uh-huh.
the show. I stay in my lane when it comes to what I know that I can work with in my strengths, right? And I think
yeah.
a lot of trainers, a lot of so-called fitness professionals, because I use that term loosely, we
yeah.
know... There's an unregulated industry right
yeah.
now.
Oh, for sure.
But that being said, it gives us the opportunity to have some leverage. Someone like me who doesn't hold a degree to have some leverage to be able to make, you know, make some strides in the industry
without yeah.
holding a degree. So there's people that take it serious like me, and there's people that are like, shit, this is my gig that I'm going to try to, you know, I just got off my 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Let's try to put together a CrossFit class and
mm-hmm.
make this happen. So. So my question is, when did you start orienting your thoughts around like, okay, I have potential in Olympic weightlifting. Like, mm-hmm. when did you start realizing that potential that you could be successful in this sport? You said after trying this first class, you're like, I'd never done a snatch. So where do we go from, I can't even do a snatch, to, holy shit, I think I can do something in this sport?
So I did CrossFit for maybe, I joined like a real CrossFit gym. It was a really good CrossFit gym.
Do you happen to know where we're at?
Oh, it was Plymouth Lower Town.
I say it again?
Lower Town? Plymouth Lower Town?
I've never heard of that one.
It's a big, it's a beautiful gym. It's awesome, yeah.
Sounds mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah, so I joined there. They got me in really, really good shape. Mm. And I was always just relatively strong because of my background. And they kind of convinced me to do a weightlifting meet. So I stopped doing a lot of the conditioning and stuff and just focused on Olympic weightlifting. And then I did my first meet. I qualified for nationals, my first meet.
Your first meet?
Yeah.
How much training did you like have leading up to that?
Yeah, well, with CrossFit, like just a little weightlifting, you know, here and there. But I maybe stuck to cross or just Olympic weightlifting for 3 months, maybe 2 months.
Two to 3 months, and you go into a competition, and you killed it.
That's from all that leg press.
Dude. I'm just like... You have to understand, I mean, I've been at this for like 8 months now, and in a lot of ways, self-taught, you know, and to hear that kind of progression in such a little time, man, that's huge. And so it was at this point, after the competition, and you said you ended up placing in that one?
Yeah, so I took first at that competition, qualified.
What weight?
What weight did I weigh? Or how much did I weigh?
Yeah, what class were you competing in?
So 105 kilos.
Okay.
And so
okay.
it's like 231 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
what were your totals on those?
So I for that snatched 285.
Okay.
And then I clean and jerked 375. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow, man.
It was fun,
dude. That may be, and that's not. I'm not trying to downplay my own potential here, but that may be the absolute peak that I ever reached.
Oh, stop! Dude, you never know, man.
That's insane. And like, I mean. Just the movements you have me working through, I'm trying to, because I've had 500 pounds on my back. I've been able mm-hmm. to do the powerlifting gig and stuff. So I know right. what that feels like in a compound movement. When you're adding that dynamic structure of those movements to it and having to stabilize potentially 300 pounds over your head in a snatch or a clean and jerk, that's a world of difference, you guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing. So at what point after that did you go right back into training? How did that work?
Yeah, so I tried to get back into CrossFit, and then I did my first Metcon back, and the team there that I was training with, they're like, "Hey, man, if this isn't for you, you can just do weightlifting." So
the metabolic conditioning, that's something tough. That's something that a lot of people, when they see our Olympic weightlifting, they're mm-hmm. automatically like, oh, you do CrossFit.
Oh,
I'm sure you get that 1,000% of the mm-hmm. time, right? So I want to make that clear for everyone who doesn't know. That's a conglomerate of like every exercise modality thrown into
one
sport.
Yeah, it is. No, it is for sure. Yeah.
So like when we're talking about specialization and kind of fitting within operating within your strengths. You were at what age?
I was 20.
You were 20. Now, that's important to note because I think a lot of people they'll understand that or at least see like or have experienced in their own life, man, I was not good at this thing, this one particular thing, but they're not looking at what they've done really well within that.
Yeah.
So for you, you may have sucked at metabolic conditioning, mm-hmm. but your ability to your predisposition for fast twitch fibers and being able to lift weight, man, you were able to find that through CrossFit, mm-hmm. even in the failures or lack of success in that
right.
particular sport,
exactly.
something else was able to take its place.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to highlight that because there's a lot of people that listen to this and they're like totally lost on where to go in their own fitness efforts, how to kind of find their potential right. and what they could be good at. Bottom line, I want everyone to recognize that he was going through a sport that he wasn't necessarily great at. And through it, you were able to find something that you
That I loved,
that
yeah.
That you loved, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So I just want to point that out because that's everyone's life, mm-hmm. right? There's opportunities that you can seize that moment to be yeah. able to find out, you know, your passion in that sense, which is what it sounds like it ended up developing into.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your time as a competitor moving forward. What are there other competitions that you've done leading up to now? Let's talk about those.
So let's see. After my first one, I did my first one in this little meet in Chicago. After that, I did, I think, maybe one other local competition, and then I went to Nationals. I bombed out of Nationals.
Oh,
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I missed all of my clean
posts.
Jerks.
Yeah, I've seen your posts about it. Mm-hmm. So that was the following meet after the one you won, correct?
Yeah, so I won another one before that.
Okay.
And then the third one, which was my first, I guess you could say, big boy meet. Big boy meet, yeah.
Okay.
I bombed out. Then I ended up getting a coach after that.
Okay.
And we had a lot of success. I won a 2016 University National Championship.
Wow.
And that put me on the USA World Team.
What were your totals for that USA Championship?
Let's see, a 330 snatch, I believe.
Jesus.
And then 413-pound clean and jerk.
That's impressive.
Or
it
something
was
around
in the same weight class as well.
Yeah, 105.
105 mm-hmm. kilos. Wow, that's impressive, man. So up until – so leading up to that point, you had won the first two competitions. Mm-hmm. They were kind of more local.
Local, than, yeah. Kind of okay. laid back.
Laid mm-hmm. back. Maybe competitors weren't as higher up at
right.
an elite mm-hmm. level.
Yeah.
So then you got into a situation where you're not only least knowledgeable, but the least experienced in the room.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to clean up in that mm-hmm. turn. So, or that competition. I think that's important too, because you guys, you only are as good as the competition that
yeah.
you compete against. And there's so many people that are in, whether it's fighting in MMA mm-hmm. or doing bodybuilding. We see this a lot in bodybuilding competitions,
yeah.
right? It's like these guys, you know, they're winning a local show, and then all of a sudden they're writing nutrition plans for people, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, come on, like. You guys, if you are looking to better yourself in performance-related tasks or looking to increase your competency in Olympic weightlifting, look no further. Matthew McCarty
yes,
is
DM
the guy.
Me.
That's right.
Shoot me a DM on Instagram.
That's right, man.
I am quick to answer back.
Quick to answer and super,
I got one,
super
yes,
nice
super
guy,
easy.
Man. Really, like, you know, and I think that a lot of people will look at the profile pictures and be like, this guy's a freaking monster. I can't.
I'm bad with social media. I'm really bad.
You gotta find your that's why we have the recording,
yeah,
man. We
right?
gotta find
that's
your good
true.
Your good angle
yeah.
so you don't look
the
so mean.
Angle?
Yeah, yeah. You got that war face going when you're lifting, man. So, but no, for sure, man. This guy's super awesome. He takes so much time out of his day to go through all of the, and I bother him so much. All of the videos I'm sending to him in the AM, he's busting his ass to give me cueing in the best prescriptions moving forward to help me see my goals through. So if you're looking to better yourself in Olympic weightlifting, or if you're looking to learn more about performance-related tasks, look no further, guys. Matthew McCarty is the man. So thank you guys for listening in today. I want to reiterate on the listener support. If you enjoyed the show, if you found something valuable, or if you liked our guests, go ahead and comment, like, subscribe, share on all of our social media platforms. And if you really did enjoy the show, drop a donation. We appreciate it. So stay tuned for our next installment, guys. I'm not going to give a time frame on it because it's usually when I have the weekend to do these things that I'm able to post on it. So stay tuned. We're trying to develop more fun pieces of content like this where we're going outside the norm and really able to utilize resources like this. This has been a phenomenal experience. So thank you for allowing me to get in front of you today and pull you aside on a Sunday afternoon. And I also want to thank IU Media Group, operated by Josh Marzek in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Guy's phenomenal. Has a beautiful setup for his studio. So if you're looking to get some studio time and have an experience with your guests on a podcast or video platform, Josh Marzek's going to be your man. So we'll certainly leave some resources and links for you guys to inquire about that if that's something that fits the description for you. So thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Hope to be hearing from you soon. And never forget, aspire to inspire.